This is not a test. This is your emergency broadcast system announcing the commencement of the annual purge.
When you hear that sound, you know you're in the Purge Pod. Welcome back to a special edition of the Purge Pod. After many requests, after many times and offers and invites to join, we have a guest who has made the pod, and we're without Johnny, so he's doing a replacement guest situation. On today's episode, we have none other than Josh Lorenz. Josh, say hi. Say hi to the league.
What's good? The only reason I'm doing this is to get you and Johnny to stop texting me 15 times a day to get on a pod.
You're doing this of all days of the year. You decide to do it on a Friday afternoon of your son's birthday.
It is what it is. There's not a lot of time in the day. Luckily, he's at preschool. Working at Amazon, having two kids, there's not a lot of time of the day. And then also my obsession with pickleball. You knew it was coming.
It's a real obsession. It's a real sport. How'd the last tournament go?
The last one wasn't great. We started out really good. I think I was given live updates on one of the threads. We beat these clowns 15-3, pumped up, feeling good about ourselves. The thing about these tournaments is you have to rate yourself. So we do some neighborhood play. We don't really know how good we are. It goes to a scale of, I think it's a 2, which is the junk players, up to 5, who are the professionals. They make the ESPN. So we put ourselves at like 3.5. We're like, all right, we're in between. We are not 3.5.
One and a half away from pros, huh? Wow.
The pros are like the 5 or above. 4.5, 5s are above. But smoked these guys first round and then just got annihilated the rest of the tournament. Won one game out of the 4. So humbled a little bit. We need to play as 3s, build it up a little bit, get the dinking game, get the kitchen game going a little bit, speed it up.
What would you say your ratio is to hours played to success?
I mean, it just depends on who you put, like the neighborhood guy. So there's a group of probably 6 or 7 that play pretty consistently in the neighborhood. I mean, I'm up there. It's like me and this other guy go back and forth quite a bit. I think our overall record, I have him, I'm up 37. I've won 37 games. He's won 36. So it's literally like back and forth. And we'll go on like wild swings where I'll beat him 6 straight games. He'll come back and get a new paddle, get some new equipment, and just come back and beat me 5 straight. But we're pretty even. And it's me and him in the neighborhood. We're the 2 that paired up in this tournament, thinking that we're going to go wreck other fools in other areas, and that just wasn't the case.
So we just need travel to travel pickleball.
You get in the workshop a little bit.
Yeah. You guys got to find an indoor spot to play so you can be a year-long sport, man. You're trapped in Seattle in the winter months.
That's the problem. Once the rain hits, there's a long gap in between when we can play again. You got people all over
the world who can play year-round, and you're sacrificing four to five months of the year of practice.
But all that being said, that's why I haven't been able to join the pod. I haven't even talked about the kids. They don't matter as much. Work, much less important. It's the pickleball that's really been eating the time.
We're happy to have you here. We're sad Johnny's not here, but we're doing a surprise pod because we want to go through a couple things. First and foremost, last night, Cougs beat.
They're back.
They're back, baby. They beat Drake. I'll be honest, I have not watched 1 minute of Cougs this year at all. Had no idea. I didn't know anything about their team, and I still was like freaking out and yelling and having no idea if it was their style of play, but they pulled it out.
I alluded to this yesterday too. I haven't watched any college basketball in probably like all year, probably aside from the tournament last year is the last games I even tuned into. I hadn't heard of any of these players on the Cougs, but I'm in. I'm locked in. Isaac Jones, fun fact here that I looked up, or I think I saw it on Twitter. He's the first Wazoo player to ever record a double in the NCAA tournament. That just goes to show how few and far between we've ever made the tournament.
First win since 2008 when I was in college. I think you graduated that year too, so I think you might have still been in Pullman then.
Yeah, we'll get to this later, but I do have an exercise related to the 2008 team. that I'm going to quiz you on, and it's going to tie into to a potential pickup that you'll have to make, or I make, depending on how well you do.
Okay, sounds good. Yeah, we're going to have a little bit of fun. Josh came with segments, so we're not doing the traditional sports. We're going to or the movies. We're going to do something a little different. Okay, we're going to go into fantasy.
Wait, before we do, we don't want to get off the Cougs that quick. To talk about like Isaac Jones, like how weird was it that he was like rolling up his shorts? I don't know if you noticed that or if you like watched the game.
Yeah, I did notice.
I'd never seen a dude do that before. See it a lot on the women's side, but I was like, what is this guy's deal?
He was really rolling him up. He wanted to show like he was like one half roll away from seeing a little bit of fucking testicle for sure.
He was ready to show it.
The Cougs are the second tallest team in the country. Learned that yesterday. That's cool. They might have the worst hands in the country. The amount of times that they just couldn't catch the ball under the rim was shockingly high.
The reason he got all those double doubles, he was smoking so many layups. He was so close to the hoop, and he just triggered. He'd get the rebound right away and whatever, put it back up. But yeah, I don't know. I was into it. I like their flow. Like they got up and down, like way different than the Bennett ball that we used to watch, which was a grind. It's the Virginia coach now, Tony Bennett. That's who led him to the Sweet 16 back in 08. It was just grind it out, good defense, really use up the entire shot clock. This team is they get up and down. They play more free. I had more fun watching them.
They played good defense. I was really impressed with their defense. Like they came in clutch and they were doing good on that DeVries guy, who clearly was their best scorer. Don't know what their coach was doing on the Drake side. Just take him out, bringing him back in. It's like if this dude's your best player, you got to keep him in, because if there's a defensive rebound, then all of a sudden now like your best scorer isn't on the floor. He must be that bad at defense. He only had like two fouls in the last three minutes. Like it was crazy.
Yeah. I need to lock on to the Cougs for this next game. I was definitely distracted with all the fantasy happenings in our matchup, which...
Let's talk fantasy real quick, because I'll say, like, we text, but we're not, like, active texters. Like, we've been friends for a long time, but we're not, like, on each other's fucking inbox. We're busy guys going on. This is the most that we text every year. Like, playoffs, it's basketball, playoff time. So for those who don't know the relationship for fantasy, Josh runs basketball. I don't do any pickups. If he's gone, like, we'll set a lineup. But, Josh, you're pretty diligent. I don't think I've had to do that once in the last three years.
No, I love hoops. NBA is my shit. Like, I don't care about baseball. I've never watched a full game of baseball. NFL, I get into the NFL. I'll lock in on Sundays and do a lot. I'm very active. Football, we definitely make joint choices together. Mm-hmm. But basketball, NBA, that's all me.
It's all you, man. Not Tony, baby.
If I need to double check one or two guys, I'll be like, who do you like between these two? But if you make an ad drop pickup without my consent, like you're off, like I'm quitting, like I'm off the team.
I love basketball just as I don't think I'm not as locked in as you are for sure. Like for example, I sent a screenshot of let's pick up this guy Shempagny, whatever his name is, and he fucking dropped an absolute egg yesterday.
I mean, those random texts you'll give me, because I can tell you don't look at like the schedule or anything when you send these suggestions. I'm just like, I just ignore them. I delete the text. I probably won't respond to you for a couple of days after that because I'm so offended that you would even suggest such a name.
We're playing an old foe this year.
The legend himself.
Musser. And you and us have been battling in fantasy basketball, and everyone's getting a taste of Ryan.
Musser is a different animal. He is a professional fantasy hoops player, no question. We've obviously have a juggernaut of a team, but he has basically the perfect build to go against us, which is pretty wild. That's even a conversation, considering we spent, over 350, 370 something?
We spent a lot. We are dealing with injuries, but he did text and say that he had built his team for this matchup specifically, which if you look at it, he did a good job. He did a good job.
Of course. Yeah, he's going after our weaknesses, right? And we had to adjust a little bit too, because we were really built for field goal percentages and some of the steals as well and blocks. Not as much as Ryan on the block side, but us losing Mobley hurt us bad. Sengun hurt us bad. And so those guys, we could kind of tank free throw percentage and get and hammer that field goal percentage really hard. Like we had to adjust with that and go after some new stats that the original build was not for. So we have to do some mid adjustment. All the while, Ryan is building up his steals, especially his threes, especially his field goal as well. That's a weird combo. Having good field goal percentage and threes and blocks, and then he obviously free throws are in play with him this week too, because we got points, rebounds, assists on locks, just autopilot. So we
and we'll lose turnovers for sure. But it's like any other team, we do really well. But he like really hones in and has been picking up players and been preparing for this. Yeah. What do you think about the other matchup?
I could give two fucks. Like it's basically, this is the championship for us. I feel like if we can get past Musser, I'm not worried about those other clowns. Those guys are just they're not ready. Ryan is ready. Ryan is prepared.
What's your early thoughts on the baseball draft?
What the fuck? Why are we talking about baseball, man? All I know about baseball this year is Ohtani is cheating bad. He hasn't been gambling for the past couple years, and his agent his translator is the guy that's just been. I know Bradley's not too pleased about this.
Do you read those texts?
No, absolutely not. Occasionally, I'll jump in there and try to stir some shit, but for the most part, that's just on silent. We'll go in at the end of the night and just be like, do a quick scan to see, but mostly it's Bradley just going in hot.
How do you feel about Sam being a trigger for Brad, but Sam having an Android and the reason why we have limited options of what can be done in the chat because he has an Android, the only Android?
Yeah, it ruins a lot of things and a lot of cohesiveness for that texture. But like, they definitely are one and the same. He gets fired up. Brad, I feel like Brad trolls him quite a bit too on the side. And Sam just needs to. They both just need to give fewer fucks, I think, on both of their sides. They hold on. They hold on to a lot of the, they just need to let it go. Spend more time with their kids. Spend more time with the kids, right? Spend more time pickling.
I'm showing you on the screen right there. There you go. All Manis.
What do we got there?
All Manis text. That's just a lot.
I would say, I don't know how he texts so fast. That's one thing that I don't understand. It's just the pure volume that he's able to unload in such a short amount of time. Because I'll go back and look at times he has got just novels that he'll write within 5 minutes' time. It's pretty incredible.
You know how they have the championships for Excel or whatever? They should have it for text, and I would submit Brad. I think he'd do well in those.
Has anyone ever watched him text live to see how quick those thumbs are just smashing?
Dude, that'd be like...
Has anyone seen it live?
Like one of those nature shows.
Yeah.
One of those nature shows, like Planet Earth, Planet Brad.
Yeah. That was a
just watching him text.
It's probably just a bot. There's an AI that's doing it for him. It's got to be
Bard. There is AI called Bard.
But before we get off that, I want to get back into our matchup with Ryan too a little bit and talk about some of his the pickups that he made this week, like the Ellis pickup that he hit. That guy.
Explain the pickup of what and what happened. Who it is, and what happened.
So. I don't know this guy's first name. So he's plays on the Kings. Probably the last he's been averaging, maybe 15. The minutes have been ticking up there a little bit. He's a defensive specialist guy.
Keon Ellis.
Keon Ellis. He's a defensive guy for the squad. Plays. I think he was eighth, ninth guy coming into the season. If that.
He was getting very little minutes. He was not playing at all.
And so he started coming off the bench a little bit more. Played behind. Herder was the backup. I actually haven't watched it live. Just checked it on the game log to see his minutes. But Musser picks him up that day, on Tuesday, I think it is. 1 minute into the game, Herder gets injured, right? And Ellis gets the spot. I think he got 5 blocks, 1 steal.
Mm-hmm.
This one nuts. Starts the next game, got 5 steals, another
4 steals. They
switched.
4 steals and a block, yep.
The combined block steals over 2 games was 12. Somebody like that. But, I mean, there were some hints there. There were some nuggets. He had a few games where he'd get that combined 4. And then they'd switch off where he'd get 3 steals, 1 block, 3 blocks, 1 steal type stuff. So he had it in him, but he definitely put it together for
On the flip side, he did pick up Luke Kornet. As his last pick of the week, and he got 9 minutes, 0 goals, empty stat line.
Yeah, he freaked out on that one a little bit. It's not over, though. He does have the back-to-back, and when Ryan, the Nostradamus of fantasy hoops, so there's a reason he picked up Kornet. I guess we're going to find out over the next, I think he plays today and tomorrow in the back-to-back.
So yeah, it's been a crazy matchup. I've been freaking out. Like, Grayson Allen had his season high in threes made, and Luka had his season low in shooting percentage, which I mentioned on
the
other pod.
I've never seen you freak out as much as you have about this matchup. It's like pretty early on Wednesday, and it's going back and forth, and you're just like, I'm having a heart attack. Just calm down. We're not even halfway through the week.
It's because we spent all this money, and our plan is to like win. Step one was win the regular season. Step two was win the whole thing in basketball and set it all up. And it would be a
Are you feeling the pressure? Are you feeling the pressure that if we can't pull this off?
But we'll still be good in baseball. We'll still be good in baseball, but I would feel a lot better having an early lead, knowing where we need to be in baseball.
Yeah. It's a complete and utter failure if we don't win with the amount of money we spent buying Joker for $100 next year.
I agree. I agree. That's what happens when you go all in. When you go all in. It's like when if the Dodgers don't make the World Series, it's a failure. If the Niners don't win a Super Bowl, it's a failure. That's what
happens. We're swinging for the fences.
I love it. All right, you got some stuff that you want to talk about. You have some rankings or something that you want to discuss. Basketball. You're a basketball guy in the basketball season.
We're sticking with hoops here. It's what I do. NBA. Who cares about college, really? We've got a few more weeks of this weird tournament. These kids suck. But let's talk top five lists of different things for the NBA. So one of them, just like a topic, like who has the best handles? We'll start there. Best handles of all time.
All time.
So I put together just a random list. You can add additional ones or say if you think somebody else should be swapped for whoever. The best handles I had, Kyrie Irving up there.
Is this in order?
It doesn't have to be in order. Just like top five guys. So Irving was on there. I had Jason Williams, White Chocolate, on there. Had Jamal Crawford. I feel like that's a safe one. Steph Curry. I actually have Steph on there. Just his ability, and that's more of like his ability to handle quick and then get a shot off. I like that one. Allen Iverson, just his the speed and quickness on there too. Sham God, this is probably more than five. Sham God, because he had, I don't know if you're familiar with his.
The Sham God move.
Dribble.
We're missing some big ones here. Where's Jason Kidd on this list? Jason Kidd had incredible handles.
He didn't have like a flash.
So you're looking flash.
Who would you not want to like be in like guarding in front of you? Who's just like going to take your ankles? Like it's going to he's looking for bodies on the court.
I see. I'm thinking of it as like almost assist to turnover ratio. Doesn't turn the ball over. You know what
like,
I mean?
Like that's like IQ. When I think of handles, that's like secure.
So you're thinking flash. I'm thinking like security. Like John Stockton was about as secure as they came.
Chris Paul too, right? Yeah, Chris Paul would have to
remember
be
that
there.
Pass? That pass in like the 95 or 96, what was it, semifinals before they went to go play the Bulls? He had that one-handed pass to fucking Karl Malone, full length for a dunk. Dude, look that up if you haven't seen it. Stockton, dude. That was in the,
No question, he hit dimes, but his IQ was just next level.
Yeah.
People were like, him on a playground, John Stockton is going to do whatever the hell he wants, obviously. But these other guys are going to try to embarrass you. And
Magic Johnson's got to be on that list, right? He's got to be for flash.
Yeah.
Right?
I had other guys, too, just honorable mentions. They don't get as much love. But Jamal Tinsley. And then Rafer Alston, obviously all the mixtape guys.
Baron Davis was pretty filthy, too, in his heyday when he was healthy.
He was my favorite player, like early NBA Lives, NBA 2K, like 2004, 2005, when I would play those games. Like, I would always pick Baron Davis with the Hornets.
He was so fun because he was like, for me, Baron was always like, this is like, Hornets. Like, he was the first point guard in my mind that I can remember that had that explosiveness. If he got by you, like, the center needs to watch out because he's going to get fucking jammed on.
Yeah. And he was so strong.
And he had so many. I remember there's, dude, just watch, look at his, like, Hornets highlights. He has so many vicious dunks.
Yeah.
Obviously, he has that one on Kieran Lincoln and the Warriors, but like when he was younger and like super healthy and just bouncy, dangerous.
Yeah. He was catching lobs. Like he would go by people, but he was like one of the first point guards where the big could throw it up to him and he would go and get it.
He was nasty, man. He was a lot of fun. And obviously, there's issues with him about caring and stuff, which I think Jamal Tinsley falls in that category too.
I loved Jamal Crawford, though. He's just one of those guys where it's, is he ever going to be on a winning team? Not really, because of the way he played. But like, he was like, his highlight reel was super fun to watch.
He was one of those guys that looked like he was just inventing stuff while he was playing, right? Like, where he wouldn't practice it, but even he would surprise himself. Like, he would do something and just had the creativity just to be like, and the guts to be like, all right, let me try something that I've never done before. Because he just was like, to me, it sounds like he's just like more of a gym rat, would just play. He wouldn't practice drills. He's not like a drill player.
Remember, there was that one year, like on his one of his last few years on the Clippers, like he jumped up his field goal percentage to 44-45% or something
from like 35.
From like 39. And we're like, what's going on?
You are just volume guy.
And you're like, dude, what has happened? And he's, I'm practicing shooting.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
Play. I'm like, what the fuck?
Play.
Had so much raw talent.
Yeah,
so much raw talent.
Probably didn't love practicing. Just like to go and just let me go find a game. Let me just get some shots up in game. But then afterwards, I'm not doing set shooting. Why the fuck would I do that?
Yeah, exactly.
But speaking there's a list for best shooters. This is pretty. I mean, it shouldn't be too controversial,
right? Yeah, this one's pretty straightforward.
Curry, Clay, Ray Allen, Reggie, Dame. Then I had JJ and Korver. I don't know if there's any.
Bird was an incredible shooter. You have to throw him in there. People forget just how money he was.
The game was different. They didn't have the three-point line. It wasn't the amount of volume for the threes that we get up today. The game was just so different than what it used to be.
Very different. Like, he's, if you're looking at just pure shooter, right? I think you nailed it. Like, the Reggies, the Ray Allens, dude, the Michael Reds. Michael Red was a fucking shooter.
For those 2 years. It was short-lived, but he had those 2 years.
Dude, he was on the Redeem team, Michael Red, dude. Like, he was, dude, that guy could absolutely put it in. Yeah, Mike Miller was there for a minute. Yeah. He was a really good shooter. Yeah, that shot.
Like Gilbert there for his Hibachi days. He was there for that 1 year where he was just hitting game winners and he'd fucking shoot it. Turn around, put his arms up, and the game's over.
Gilbert played in the wrong era. If Gilbert needed to play in this NBA, he would be a very different. The narrative on him would be very different. Still would use all his money to strip clubs and find a way to get the money back and say it's fraud. But he would be a very different player. He was a lot of fun. He could actually go on the other one, too. He has handles, man.
Listen to his podcast? I just get the highlights on X every once in a while.
Yeah, same. I don't really check into many athlete podcasts, to be honest with you. I think a lot of them are just a way to get attention, get more money. I don't think they're particularly great. Not for me. Like, they're all the goal is to get the highlights. Yeah, it's not mine. I don't think it's.
But back to shooters. No love from Caitlin Clark. This is a test to see if you weren't sexist, but apparently you are.
You said NBA. Until she's in the NBA. You said NBA.
Okay.
You said
I said best shooters. NBA. I said, okay.
You said the guys. We're going to do NBA. Fair, you don't care about college hoops.
All right.
So We can run back to tape.
Shooters shoot, but I would put her as a top shooter.
Of course. Like, she's super fun to watch. Like, she's super fun to watch. Would love to see her in a three-point contest like they did Sabrina. Would love to see that. I love how Trae Young is like trying to get involved in this conversation. He's like, yeah, me and Caitlin Clark, let's do it. Dude, no one wants to see you, Trae Young. He just launched a podcast. No one gives a fuck, dude. That thing's going to last. They probably gave him money for 12 episodes to see what happens. It's going to be dog shit. I don't know.
No love for Trae. No love for Ice Trae.
I don't have any love. As long as he's on Atlanta, that team is never going to win. He's got a little bit of Carmelo-ism on him. I love, and you know me.
Definitely a selfish player. Yeah, Luka. I don't necessarily enjoy watching that style of play. Like, him and Luka play very similar. It's just ball dominant. They're looking to score. It's tough to play off of them when they're cooking. Yeah, you got to let them cook. But if you watch the rest of the guys, the other four, they look bored out of their minds. Even when those guys.
I will say this is the first time I've had Luka on a team. I think. It's fun to look at the stat line the next day.
Yeah.
I don't want to watch the game. I love the stat line.
Even when he's on my team. I was talking with this with Ham on a text. He was like, who would you rather take, SGA or Luka, if you're like to start a team? I was like, SGA.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
His like attitude is so much better. He doesn't seem like a prima donna. Like, Luka is just whining and bitching at the refs.
And Shea came from like humble beginnings, dude. Like, if you remember, like, he was like the seventh man on the Clippers, and they knew he could have supposedly.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like,
no, he was like a throw-in for the PG trade, right?
I wouldn't call him a throw-in. He was a big piece, but they got him to get him and three first-round picks is insane.
Right.
And they got one.
Yeah, that was an absolute steal. Who's the better player? Like,
yeah, it's And then even Paul George admits it. He goes, yeah, they gave up a lot. Like, that probably was too much.
That's wild to me that they were just
watching SGA is so fun to watch. He's such a good player. Really excited to see what happens.
I'll be honest. I haven't watched a ton of OKC live. I see the highlights, how his pace and play. But they do say he's a shitty defender is what the knock on him is. Like, where he's just looking for steals. That's it. But that's like the one knock that they will say. His steals are high, but he's just gambling every single time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's shifty. I do watching him play. All right, what's the next list?
Dunkers, top dunkers ever.
In game?
It could be in game. Doesn't matter. I had Vince, obviously. Mm-hmm. Jordan, Wilkins, T-Mac is up there.
T-Mac. Yeah, I was going to say you better put T-Mac in there.
Big T-Mac guy. Blake
Griffin. Did you say Dominic Wilkins?
Yeah, Dominic Wilkins.
Okay, cool. Yeah. T-Mac. Dude, DeAndre Jordan. If you're putting Blake, you got to put DeAndre Jordan.
I did not have DeAndre. He's just so big. Like, his dunks were vicious and huge, especially the one against, who was it, Knight?
Yeah, Brendan Knight.
Brendan Knight,
Dude, it happened Detroit. The same night as something else. There was something crazy that happened on that same night.
It looked like he made
the Gerald Green, when he caught it in the air. I think it was when Andy windmilled.
Just a windmill.
Just a windmill. Just like casually in a game off an alley-oop. Just a
basic windmill. I had Blake Griffin, LaVine, Zach LaVine, obviously the dunk contest. Aaron Gordon. The LaVine, Aaron Gordon dunk contest. I don't think that will ever be topped.
Dude, if you want to see a crazy highlight, Darvin Ham, the coach of the Lakers, has one of the most vicious in-game dunks.
He broke a backboard, didn't he?
I don't know if he broke a backboard. He might have broken someone's back. Because he dunked on somebody, and I remember, who the fuck is Darvin Ham? I remember watching it. I think he was on the Pistons, maybe. Look that one up. That's a crazy dunk.
I had a random one. Stromile Swift, too.
I love Stromile Swift.
Just how long he was, and then the angles that he would take. And then talk about somebody who would jump from so far away from the hoop, like a two, and he was a 2-foot jumper, too. So it was, it's a very different look. The way he dunks.
He was, God, talk about a ton of talent. Like, I think he was drafted fourth overall or second. He was incredible. He should have been way better.
This was like early 2000s.
He was drafted in the weird era, like 2002, 2001. Weird NBA.
Yeah. This is a different one. Like, dirtiest. The dirtiest players. Like, the biggest.
Didn't shower.
No, this isn't the Forrest Award. This is the dirty, as in they are looking to injure other players on the court next to them. I gotta put Draymond.
You have to put Draymond.
I'm gonna lead with that because that guy this year especially is fucking dickhead out there. Bill Laimbeer.
Charles Oakley, you gotta put in. Charles Oakley was vicious.
I have Oakley on here. Ron Artest. You remember Ron Artest? The elbow, the Harden elbow, where he just, I think he's on the Lakers at the time. He makes a layup and he just hardens under the hoop and just for no reason, just elbow.
He came down with it, dude. It wasn't a cross. He came fucking down. Yeah. Who was the guy that was on the Knicks? Not Oakley, the other guy.
Charlie Ward passed away.
No, not Charlie Ward. He passed away a few years ago. What was his name?
What the heck was his name?
He's also a big, not Larry Johnson.
Latrell Sprewell.
Yeah, he did choke his coach.
I have no idea where Latrell is.
Oh, my God. Okay, who else you got on your list?
I had Oakley. I had Chris Paul, CP3. I think he's a dirty fuck. Yeah, like he's like tripping people. He'll like pretend to do things, but not like, I don't know. I've seen him like diving into one too many people's legs. He gets me fired up sometimes with his nonsense.
Anthony Mason is what I was thinking of. Anthony Mason.
Oh, I did not know he's passed. Yeah.
There's other, what was the guy, Tim?
Stockton. Tim, actually, I did have John Stockton on this list, too. Other former players were say that he's just like would do some cheap shots, like he'd set some dirty screens and.
Oh, yeah.
Just an asshole.
You know who we didn't put on the dunking list was Sean Kemp. He deserves to be on that list.
Oh, yeah. That was our miss. That was a definite miss.
He needs to be
on that question. Rain Man. Okay.
What other list?
That's about it. Actually, this is a funny one. Team Ninja Turtles. Who looks the most like a Ninja Turtle when they play?
Zach Randolph.
And you can define it by they like can wear headbands sometimes. They have big round heads and are just jacked. Like they just strong.
So they have to be
guys.
Jacked. I was gonna say okay. So who do you got on this list?
I had
Bonzi Wells.
Corey Maggette. Bonzi would be a good one. Corey Maggette. He's got that. Big face.
He was jacked.
Paul Pierce.
He was not jacked. Does kind of look like a turtle. Turtle situation.
Round face, round head, would wear the headband. PJ Tucker. PJ Tucker's definitely got that turtle build. Yeah.
Back in the day, a lot more guys would wear headbands. I feel like they're not as. What's the guy's name on the Bucks, the backup who backs up Giannis, who's like the six not this year he won't be, but
Portis, Bobby.
Portis. He'd be turtle-ish.
Portis is a bucket. Carmelo.
Herder?
Carmelo.
Herder.
Herder. Jesus, fuck that guy. What's funny about Herder too is like when we played Ryan a couple weeks ago, we picked up Herder and he just laid two eggs back to back. This guy is just out to get us.
Oh my God! Fucking hurt.
The other one's
redhead crime, man. Redhead on redhead crime.
Bruce Brown was on there too, and Westbrook.
Bruce Brown. What about Bruce for dirtiest player? He kicked a guy in the head.
I don't think I saw that. No.
Yeah, you did. Not Bruce Brown. The guy who played in the Spurs back in the day. What was his name? Bruce.
Something. Oh, Bruce Bowen.
Bruce Bowen kicked Zerbiak in the head.
Bruce Bowen was, that's a miss for the dirtiest players. That guy used to slide on. They changed that rule, right? Like when you could,
dude,
people would shoot, and then he would put his foot right underneath him when they'd land in just so many sprained ankles. The Zaza Pachulia.
Zaza, yes.
We'll take one. That's... Good job, Zaza. Got us a ship.
Oh, my God. He did get us the ship. He did. And then we got fucked by Kawhi a couple years later, if not the next year.
Yeah, he did get his revenge for sure. But yeah, that's it for the lists. That's it for the lists.
Who is your... We've done this before. It's been a while since you've probably told me this, but who is your favorite... give me your top five favorite college basketball players of all time, men's.
Oh, that's a good, that's a fun one.
I know one for
Adam Morrison. I gotta go there.
For those that don't know, Josh and I almost fought each other between who was better, JJ Redick and Adam.
That was
Morrison.
Probably like our first original six pack bet. Clearly,
oh yeah, that was that the original.
Did not go too well. We had another one. What was it? De'Aaron Fox versus Lonzo.
Yeah, one. I won.
Who's
going to
make an All Star? But Dear, they have as many points in an all-star game as each other. De'Aaron Fox did not score last year when he played. I don't know if you looked that up or not. So Adam Morrison's up there. Trajan Langdon's up there from Alaska.
Explain why. Like, yeah, exactly. You're from Alaska, so
grew up in Alaska. So this guy in the late 90s for Duke, he was that guy. He was talk about another snipers. That guy did not miss for a few years.
In college.
They lost to Arizona, right?
Yep.
Arizona got it.
Was Dunleavy on that team too?
Dunleavy, they won one. That was the Boozer years. So they had
And Carlos was the third overall pick. That was a brutal pick for the Warriors.
So Trajan's up there.
There's one guy that you used to talk about all the time.
In college?
Not when we were in college, when he was in college. UConn. You used to talk about this guy all the time. Khalid Al-Amin, man. You loved him. You would talk about him.
Not as much as you like Mateen Cleaves.
Oh, I fucking love Mateen. Mateen Cleaves is number one or number two, depending on how.
We're talking about like the point guards that won championships like led their teams as floor generals. Those guys were up there. Actually, you know who like underrated I really liked in college was Devin Harris on Wisconsin. That guy was just a blur on the court.
Yeah.
Like
he was unbelievably good.
Up and down, quick. And then I loved Rondo. I was a big Rondo guy. At Kentucky, just the way, like, he's a shitty shooter, like, you could just lay off of him, but he would just do all the intangibles, get the dimes,
big hands,
block,
man.
Steals. He was, yeah.
And that was when Kentucky was, like, in the middle of, they had, what was it, Tubbs was their coach, and he was towards the end of his tenure, and they were, like, relying on Rondo to be a scorer. I was like, this is not a good idea.
No, you never want to do that.
But he was solid, You and Ryan loved him.
He was just one of those guys that just does the intangible stuff. Like, he did the dirty work, the defense, and he just had that dog in him, right? Like he just wanted to win, just get it done. But I'm trying to think of any other big time college guys that I used to love. Yeah, Baron Davis was always like one that you
UCLA
watch.
Yeah,
like, that guy is gonna be, he's gonna be different.
You just don't get that anymore. At least not this year. When you're watching, you're just like, this guy is gonna be a problem in the NBA, or he has like a bright future.
That's what
you
I'm saying. Like even watching some of these guys, like Kentucky getting that L yesterday, it's who out of those guys looks like, oh, they're going to be disruptive in the NBA. Or everyone talks about the Dillingham kid. Yeah. He'll probably be good, but I don't know if he'll be like anything crazy.
And like you never, like the tournament is, you still got four other guys on your team plus the bench or whatever. Like Durant, couldn't pull it out. And he had one of the most unbelievable freshman years of all time.
Beasley up there too.
Beasley was KD
and Beasley 1A and 1B.
That year with Beasley was insane.
I feel like Beasley just lob after lob. Looked like, talking about not giving fucks, he just played at his own pace, would just get up and down, and just, he almost looked like lazy out there a little bit, lazily getting 40 points in college, which is unheard of.
Draymond was also unbelievable in college. He was like, I think, one of the first players to get 2 triple-doubles in the same tournament. He was unreal.
But the KD knock was always in college. He just looked so freaking skinny. He's just like, how does that translate? Is he just going to get bodied in the NBA?
He couldn't bench 185 once.
That's what I'm saying. So you watched him in college and you're just like, yeah, he's getting his buckets, but there's always that doubt that just once he goes up against grown men, he's going to get destroyed. Mm-hmm. He can't do what he's doing, but obviously
that's been proven wrong. I was like, I don't know how he's going to be able to fit. All right, let's talk a little football draft.
Okay.
Football draft.
Yeah.
All right, we have decided that we're going to San Diego. We have the list of folks who have booked, there's some outstanding people. Sam has yet to book. Yoni.
There's a lot of paranoia about what happens like to the last people that book, assuming that we already have the place picked out and they're just going to get stuck with a shitty room and bed.
Also, I'm going to give a little...
Why are they so paranoid? Why are they so scared?
Also, want to give a little hint to people. Did you see either of our names on that list?
That's what I'm saying. Everyone's just freaking out. It's a penalty. There's going to be something bad.
Who were the people the two people that were freaking out the most were...
I don't know. They're so easy going. They let stuff slide. They don't have a care in the world. Why would they all of a sudden just out of nowhere be concerned about something?
They really believe in us as people, as they think we were going to give the first picks, which were not on the list, and that we're going to fuck somebody and make them sleep in the basement. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. We really have no idea where we're going to stay. We're just looking for the final count. That was like the entire incentive to be like, hey, book, let's get the list as quickly as possible.
Well, now, after this paranoia, this list is going to mean more. This list is going to mean even more.
I want to kind of prove them right. Like if they think
that's a good idea. Something. Just get a bedroom apartment, 3-bedroom apartment. Yeah. Just someone could sleep in the fucking stove.
Yeah. It's their own fault. Yeah. Not believing in us. So we'll see what happens.
At the weekend, so just to repeat, we don't have the house. We're waiting for everyone to book so we can book the appropriate amount, the appropriate sized house. We are having other things being scheduled right now. We need headcount.
We're just looking for numbers. Just let us know if you're in or out. Ideally, you can buy a ticket. And then
maybe just for future references, if you say you can make a draft, maybe don't say you can't make it if you said that's the only date that can work.
Maybe you should send out the survey before instead of just booking a date without asking anybody what they want and where they want. Oh, yeah, you did that. You did that in advance. You did your due diligence. I think it was the most thought out survey that we've had.
Had pictures. As Brad said, it had pictures.
We had options. So many options. We've never had that many options before.
Listen, we're taking this last place planning seriously. Okay. That is
setting the bar.
We're setting the bar. Like, we understand that we're last, and we are going to make sure that it's felt that we are last. Let's just leave it at that. If we had to do a beer mile, Josh, would you do it as part of starting a tradition?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I'd be honest with you. I've never listened to one of your guys' pods. I'll go through and speed it up. I did get snippets of a beer mile. They were saying that this would be the last place punishment. Is that
potentially,
right?
Potentially. Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
And so you run a mile, drink a beer, or?
No, you do, it's 4 laps. Each lap you have to chug a beer before you finish the next lap, and you have to do a mile. So there's 4 laps in a mile.
Oh, okay. Got it. So it's not like every mile, drink mile. A beer. Okay.
No,
so
every quarter mile. So it's 4 beers in a mile.
I'll fucking do that right now.
Hilarious. What if the league had to choose when we did it, any point during the weekend?
Oh, hungover. That I might need to just...
Hungover,
I would want to know the time.
11 p.m. What if 11 p.m. at night? Like a surprise, we're going to the bar. Nope, we're going to the track.
Ooh. Can we at least
That would be a good punishment.
Yeah, that's wild. I'm not opposed to doing
it. The beer mile. Okay, there we go. You guys have it from us. If that's how people want to do it, we'll do it. All right, everybody. Go fuck yourself. Good luck on your brackets. Josh, thank you for joining.
Nailed it.
And thanks for being an avid listener, Josh. Really appreciate the support.
Hey, I'm trying to get those. By the way, what is the average amount that somebody does listen to your guys' pod?
Those numbers actually aren't available on. I'm being serious. It's one of the problems in podcasting. You can't. You can't see the average amount. They just Apple will say, do they listen to 20% or more? And that's just like a yes or no. It's fucked.
I'll try to help you out more there. All right, man. Thanks for having me.
All right. Ciao.